Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with us. Mayor, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Why'd you break the lights on the bridge?
Yeah, good question. There's lots of things that I never know that I do that I've been told that I do.
Your power is unsurpassed in Northwest Florida, sir.
I don't mean this facetiously. Like I take compliment in the fact of that people think that I have lots of say on lots of things, including outside the city limits. That's probably the most where
right.
I get emails about things on 9 Mile Road or 10 Mile Road, and I get it. You know, I take it kind of as a compliment that you know people think I'm you know their mayor, and in a lot of ways, I you know you represent this community.
Right.
But a misperception or two a week usually. On things like that.
So what? It's the electricity is not working properly. FDOT's investigating, and that's what we know at the moment. Is that kind of the short version?
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, interesting trivia is how many bridges are we in charge of maintenance of in the city of Pensacola, of whatever bridges are in the city? And I'm talking about even little ones, you know, over, and it's only one. The only bridge that
I would say Cervantes, the one that's broken right now. Is that the one?
No, it's the one that we maintain in the city of Pensacola is the 12th Avenue, the very northern tip of the bayou there, 12th Avenue.
Oh,
going
okay.
Down the hill and back up.
Okay, because 12th Avenue is not a state road, right?
Correct. Well, and it's just through the years when you've given away maintenance or you know, say,
sure.
Hey, all right, state, you have this because you've got more resources and vice versa. We've taken roads back before, and actually the MLK and Davis thing that we talked about going to two-way there, part of that agreement would be us taking back those roads from the state. So it's kind of, you know, a little bit of a negotiation sometimes, you know, is maybe it's a state road, maybe it isn't. But yes, so if the bridge lights go out on that 12th Avenue for that, you know, bridge that's about 100 feet long, then call me.
Otherwise,
that,
call FDOT.
I'll do
right?
my best to get an answer. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So so that's kind of the answer you gave yesterday at the press conference. Of course, everybody's been asking about this for weeks. And, you know, it's kind of, well, you know, we don't own it. We're not in charge of it. It'll be fixed when FDOT fixes it because it's their bridge and everybody knows the problem. Let's talk a little bit about the red light cameras because we now have almost a month's worth of data. There are actual citations being issued now, right? I mean, people are getting actual mailed $158 now, right?
That's correct. Started February 1st. 1,477 violations through 23 days, really, because it only went through the 27th. You'll always notice when we talk about this in the future, it lags about a week behind, you know,
right.
In terms of getting the data correct. And you know, I wanted to remind folks that have the theory out there that, well, a camera saw me by 1 millimeter and the camera was wrong. We actually rejected 38 citations, you know, about 3%. Of the citations during that period, even though they were just warnings and there was no financial consequence, just for our guys to get practice.
Yeah,
you know,
the habit,
so
right.
We sent back 38. So again, this is not a mechanism of anything other than, you know, taking Bayou and 9th Avenue, for example, that we had 35 people a day on average in January. While we advertised that we were doing this, we marketed that we were doing this, we've made it everybody as aware as possible, yet we still had 35 people a day blowing through that at that one intersection at 9th and Bayou.
It's
just
crazy.
It's staggering numbers.
Yeah, and the one at Gregory getting, you know, going up onto the on-ramp, 345
yep.
at that one. It's just crazy. I had this last night. Now, it's not one of your surveilled intersections, but I was at Davis and Creighton last night, and I was watching with my eyes as the oncoming two turn lanes, and because ours got the same side, I was going eastbound, the light, you know, the cross light went yellow, the light went red, the green arrows came on, and luckily, before either of the oncoming turn lane full of people could go, a car went right through the intersection in the northbound lane on the right side, and I literally thought, oh my God, that was 5 feet from people dying in front of my eyes. Because people
right.
do not obey the lights.
And listen, that's the thing. What I'm trying to get rid of this misperception that anybody who gets a ticket was only over the line by 1 inch. You know, and that when people who are trying to tear down this idea, that, of course, that's the most sellable way to do it, right? To say, oh, well, what do you mean? Every single person who's getting a ticket is only getting it because they were 1 millimeter over the bar. I have plenty of video that the vast majority of what we're talking about is blatant, putting people's lives in danger,
right,
is what we're talking about here, not 1 millimeter over the line. We don't want to give anybody a ticket for 1 millimeter over the line because that wasn't a safety threat. We want to do it for just the little examples that we've already shared with you. I mean, you could pull any video out of a hat you want, and the vast majority of what we're talking about is a blatant disregard for the law.
Well,
and we have to do something. And the answer before this was nothing, and that's not good enough. And so, you know, we'll see what happens as I continue to maintain. If these don't work, if these aren't successful, if I'm happy to write a check to the vendor because nobody's running red lights, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll adjust from there. But I said in my press conference yesterday, you know, on one hand, the numbers are staggering, and it's kind of discouraging, you know, to see this leveled, even when you know cameras are there. But you know what? I think we also struck a chord of something that needed to be done.
I completely agree. In fact, one of the I don't know whether this is intended or we just got lucky, but I can tell you what it's done for me. Okay. At other intersections that are not, because I know which ones are and which ones are not, I'm acting more cautiously, even at other intersections, paying more attention to the light. But B, I am far more aware of the danger. And, you know, what people have often said in the past is, you know, I'm going to count to three before I go on a green. And I'm, you know, but I find for me is I'm much more nervous looking around before I go to make sure nothing's about to happen, because it's a heightened awareness of this problem. And regardless of what this does to change people's behavior as drivers who run red lights, I think you've probably made most drivers safer, more cautious, because we're aware of the issue. I mean, that's a win.
And listen, I think, you know, like it or not, and I know some people will always not like it, but think about the reputation of driving in Gulf Breeze, right?
It's right.
That we all grew up with, you all knew, talking about, they had light, you know, so what, forget the tickets and citations and someone getting caught. It changes the persona of the driver. And I believe, to your exact point, is there's other unintended benefits of just, we're all going to be a little more. I mean, I drive through these intersections all the time. You don't think I think about it? I'm a human being too. Make sure, it affects all of us, from the mayor to everybody, to double check and make sure we're being safe, which I think is the entire goal here.
Yeah, I agree. Mayor, I wanted to ask you about some personnel changes you've had recently. David Forte, who was your assistant city manager, and before that he was your kind of traffic guru, has left. I don't know the circumstances. I'm going to ask you about that. Clark Merritt, your port director, has also left. You've had a chance to talk with him briefly. I think maybe the sanitation director, I have heard. I don't know if that's true. You tell me if I'm wrong about this. What's going on here? Because at least when it comes to David is super capable, and Clark is super capable, and I don't know the sanitation as well, but if that's true or not, but can you tell us what's going on here?
Yeah, well, you know, as always, Andrew, I don't get into specific, personnel decisions. And at the end of the day, you know, David Bark, you know, we've made no change this time at sanitation. But
okay, thank you for clarifying.
You know,
I apologize.
Are both, capable guys that are going to be successful wherever they are. And, and then we move forward and figure out the best folks for us. And so, you know, I think at the end of the day, what we're all looking for, whether you work for the city or the city administration, is, people who care about the city to do a great job. So I wish them the best. I have nothing but, good things to share about them. And we'll move forward and, filling those positions and getting the best people to run the city. You know, I think, these are the types of things that always happen in, administrations. And so we just continue to move forward.
I have a question about the utilities lawsuit, the one that says that the city doesn't have the authority to apply the franchise fee to the customers. This goes back to the 70s or 80s, but there's a statute of limitations. And now if the city loses and it goes forward, you're going to have millions of dollars to pay out to Pensacola Energy customers. But it seems to me like the only way the city makes that money up is to take in money from Pensacola Energy customers. And so I know you probably can't get into the legal side of, what's happening, but this strikes me as the most pyrrhic of victories, that the ratepayers are going to have to pay more in order to pay out a lawsuit back to the ratepayers. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, and let me preface exactly. Like, I don't want to speak to any specific. I'll talk to the psychology question, but the specifics of the case obviously are still ongoing right now. So I don't want to get too much into that. And we're in conversations with their legal team as well. So, but what I would say is, I think, would it be common sense to say that if there's an expense incurred by an enterprise, there's going to be a need to make up that expense? Yeah, I think that would be a good way to put it. And you'd have to look at the folks that are potentially, in this class and how long that they needed to be there. We're working through all of those details.
Right.
But, for what little I can say, Andrew, I think that's a fair line of thinking.
Okay. All right. And I might be missing something. Of course, you're on the one side of the issue, but that's how it struck me. I'm like, and I haven't talked to the people bringing the lawsuit or anything like that. That's just how it looked to me as somebody who doesn't pay Pensacola Energy fees. I'm like, okay, the one hand and the other hand, and in the end, we got nothing. it just doesn't seem like it wins anything. The welcome sign, where are we at? The Pelican.
Yeah, so we actually just had we were looking at March. It looks like we had a delay with making the sign until April. But I'm getting a photo update from our team, all the metal work for the framing. It's big.
Good.
See it in the photos. Yeah. And so if you drive west, over the 3 Mile Bridge and then, turning towards the Bay Center there, you can see there's a big beam that's standing out. That will be the where the sign goes. But what we wanted to do, which I thought was smart of our team, is to say, hey, we're going to build the foundation and the beam and everything, and then we're going to measure it.
Yeah.
don't go make the sign and then try to put it on a beam. So, that process, of course, takes a little longer, but we think well worth it versus, making a sign the wrong size.
You didn't want to wind up with a lollipop on an actual drumstick right. And it'd be all disproportionate and weird. Like, that wouldn't be good. Okay, that makes
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. So we couldn't, common sense would tell you could do those concurrently. We chose not to out of the safety and the taxpayers, your responsibility of making sure the first time is the only time we have to do this. But we're looking at April and we'll have an event down there, but it's looking great. The early photos are looking great. Very excited.
Who's the company? Is it a local company, I hope, learning the lessons of the sailfish sign?
I would have to check that, honestly.
Okay.
I know who's been doing the beam, but my head hasn't moved to the manufacturer yet.
Okay. All right. Because I think we learned a really, really painful lesson with the sailfish sign and not contracting with people from elsewhere in the state. So, I would hope that that's the case. And we don't have time to get into the details, but I just wanted to highlight it for people who weren't paying attention to the press conference. The other side of the approach into Pensacola is the Chappie James Monument area. And as you said yesterday, I think quite succinctly, the legal stuff is no big deal, but somebody's got to decide who's going to pay the remainder of the money. And if nobody's going to pay for it, why bother? And if the county and, the Tourism Development Commission can't figure this out, which is what they need to figure out, then we'll move ahead. Otherwise not. Is that a fair, because we all want it to happen, but...
That's absolutely right. The one sentence version of this is, we're happy to make whatever minor changes were requested by the AG and this opinion and all of this thing that's made it really convoluted. We'll make whatever changes that it takes, but can we get a straw vote? Can we get something? Before we go send our attorneys in to go chase ghosts, with changes, why can we just get someone to say that if these changes are made, it's going to be funded?
Right.
Because if not, what are we doing? Because our agreement's already valid. So. I'm kind of pleading with our partners to
there's a lot of speculation about
they're going to do something.
Yeah, and there's a lot of speculation about personal politics and that this is all being slow walked for a reason. And I understand your press for make a commitment so we can get something done because I actually agree with that. We always like to end with some fun, quick questions. First question, a super easy question for you: do you, Mayor DC Reeves, ever jaywalk?
Yes, I've been known to, I try not to, and I do it in other cities, not in our city limits, so I don't bog down the police enforcement, but I may have jaywalked a time or two.
Fair enough. We both, John and I, jaywalk too, at least occasionally. When you're at a store and you check out, do you look at the receipt before you leave the store?
I don't know. You're making me feel fiscally irresponsible. I don't know that I do. But I think if the number's off for me, if it doesn't, I'm doing some rough math in my head while I'm shopping.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. you check it.
If it
comes you,
back wild,
you think
I'll,
it should be 50,
I'll
but it's actually 65, then you'll look. But otherwise, if it's in the ballpark,
exactly.
you leave well enough alone.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And this is the most important question I'm going to ask you all day. You ready? You prepared?
Yes, I'm ready.
Snowmageddon or Snowpocalypse?
I'm gonna.
Choose wisely. Choose wisely.
I said Snowmageddon. I don't know. I think it rolls. It's easier to say and. Is it a less you don't like that? I've been saying Snowmageddon, but
All right.
What's your case for Snowpocalypse?
Oh, it sounds more enormous, and Snowmageddon is a fight between people and demons and stuff, and Snowpocalypse is just a horrible thing that happens to us.
So when they do the movie about us, then we'll do Snowpocalypse. I guess
Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, always a pleasure, sir. We look forward to talking to you next week and the city council meeting next week. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, thanks, Andrew.